greatest radio show in the history of man on this planet. No, 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 no. You think you know it's another kind of show. You think it's the show you listen to in the morning, or maybe it's that nationally syndicated afternoon conservative show. No, no, no. This is the one. This is it. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to radio. And with enough luck, he'll be doing television this year, Phil
Hendry.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And what does that mean with any luck?
That was the announcer man. That wasn't me.
Yeah, sure. Wasn't you.
Well, Phil, so tell us about it.
No, there's nothing. There's no, with any luck, he'll be doing television. No, I just, well, sure, with any luck, I'd be making TV money. How about that? I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care if it's radio. I don't give a damn if it's selling oranges on a freeway on-ramp. I don't care if I am the water boy for the Muskegee Indians of the Northwest Football Confederation. I don't care what it is, as long as I'm making TV money.
Yeah, man. So what does that mean, Phil? If you're making, Phil, I'm right here.
I can hear you, General Shaw, but we got to find another place for General Shaw to sit, okay?
Yeah, there ain't no room for him to sit down in.
Well, having him sit behind Phil is ridiculous because every time he talks, you have to turn around.
Yeah, I hear you, General.
Well, I would appreciate it when I speak, you turn around and look directly at me, so I don't feel as if I'm a marginal player in what is already all right, I tell you what, go talk and let me collect my thoughts, because I...
Well, I'll tell. The general took some Benzedrine.
What for?
None of your business.
Because he got back into a little problem that he had in the military.
It was none of his business. Now it's none of your business.
You're telling me that you're a hophead?
No, I'm not a hophead. I was doing some extra work over the holidays trying to get some paperwork done because I am putting a family trust together, and I took a couple of uppers. God.
All right, General, you don't have to get upset.
Well, I don't want to...
General, I thought you said you wanted to discuss that tonight.
Not on the air. Did I say I wanted to discuss it on the air?
General, if you didn't want to discuss it on the air, Margaret, you're overstepping your bounds a little bit.
No, wait. You said you wanted to discuss it tonight, and I thought this would be a good time to bring it up.
I didn't say I wanted it talked about on the air, you cow.
How dare you? Can apologize for that or keep on walking.
I just might.
All right, hold on. Don't leave, okay?
No, he can apologize right now.
General.
Yes, when that Guernsey cow learns to...
General, here, wait.
Bud, deal with him, will you?
Come on, General.
Yeah, don't handle me, Dickman.
What are you doing?
What am I? He just called me a Guernsey cow. So all bets are off. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. Yes, that was bad. But I don't understand why you would come right out and say, oh, hey, General, you got back into your Benzedrine problem that you had in the military.
Well, talk about Benzedrine. Is that a kind of upper to do?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't Adderall. It was something that he was using back in the day.
Oh, and you just keep right on belching, huh?
No, there's certain... I don't sacrifice... Phil, there's certain principles I don't sacrifice. Sorry.
Is he that? And you don't like me calling you a cow? My God, there isn't a farm that wouldn't be proud to have...
Go on, General.
General, just get out of here.
Tell me to get out. Don't put your hands on me, Dickman. I'll go and get a vanilla wafer, but don't put your hands on me. Never put your hands on the General.
Come on.
You see how wound up he is?
How wound up he is? Margaret, when you come on the air and you say, oh, General, why don't we talk about your Benzedrine problem? Why don't we talk about, is that what that stuff's called? What is it called?
What's what called?
What's the speed that they used to take?
Benzedrine.
Okay.
Well, you used to take it, didn't you? I'm sorry, Phil.
You got a real mouth on you. You think that everything is fodder for the talk show. It doesn't matter at all. You talk about your tampons. You talk about going to the bathroom. You talk about another guy's Benzedrine problem. You talk about a guy having an Adderall problem. You know.
Well, what, didn't you say that you took Adderall at one time?
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. And I bought it on the street. Okay? And I, not only did I take it, I shot it up or snorted or whatever I did.
Take it all the other way.
Did you use a rectal suppository? I'm sorry.
A rectal suppository. Oh, wow.
Well, Phil, I am a journalist.
A journalist, really? A journalist isn't someone who just spills everything out onto the deck like the little Kintner boy, okay?
You love that. God, I hate you for that. You love that image, don't you?
I think it's one of the greatest images and probably one of the greatest lines ever uttered in the history of motion pictures. I think it says exactly what it is that a lot of you people, you know...
You people? So now I'm a racial stereotype.
No, no, not a racial one, Margaret. I'm sorry, you're white. You don't get to hide behind that, okay?
Hide behind what? You have stereotypes. When you said you people, and all right, I'll say it, you were looking not at my breasts, but you were looking at, you were trying to look up.
Well, that's because the dress is up.
My dress is not up.
I wasn't trying to look up anything, you sick.
Go ahead, call me a cow.
All right, I'll call. You're a girl. Oh, God, I hate it.
Will you get him out of here?
All right.
I don't know where to begin with you. You're unbelievable. And yes, I'll say it again. You and other members of the press, you and this social media. I was just talking about social media before we went on the air. And we were going to talk about social media here in the show tonight. And I think it's one of the greatest lines ever uttered in a motion picture. I don't want it spilling out all over the dock like the little Kintner boy.
What are you smiling at?
You know, Phil, I overheard you talking about the little Kintner boy spilling all over the dock. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Never mind, will you?
Man, there's Nilla Wafer over here, too.
Oh, good.
I'm having him... We're doing a Nilla Wafer hunt. Why do we need to have him on the show? I forgot.
Well, Phil, you're the one that invited him.
No, I'm not the one that invited him. You are.
Mark, Ms. Gray, you're the one that invited him.
I did.
Yeah. Now I got this guy, General Shaw, who's a nice man, but he's in there, and Bud is doing a vanilla wafer hunt with the guy because he's mentally, like he's off his rocker or something?
I don't necessarily think that means he's off his rocker. They're doing a vanilla wafer hunt a la the Easter egg hunt.
Oh, I see. Allah.
But they got to watch that. See, talk about religious stereotype. I know you don't mean religion when you say Allah. You know,
I don't mean Allah, meaning Allah, the deity. I mean Allah in the French. Oh, forget it.
Allah meaning, in other words.
What?
In other words, isn't that what Allah means?
No, that happens to be the name of the God of the people. Oh, God, Phil, you are very set.
Were you talking about Allah as an A-L-A?
Oh, yes, yes, you're right.
Great. Jeez. Hello, everybody, and welcome. We're back from vacation.
Hey, you know something?
No, General, no, not now.
No, you're going to go ahead and you're going to let the farm animal say...
Come on, General!
You know, Phil, if you don't do something about him, I will, and you know I'm not kidding.
Margaret, he's an old man.
If you don't do something about him, I will, and you know I'm not kidding. Now, I heard Santa Claus on my... Christmas show that I did. He said to that elf. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I heard him.
What did he say?
He said an elf dies tonight, and you know I'm not kidding.
Yes.
What's so funny about that?
Yes, what is funny about that?
It means that at some point in the past he must have killed an elf.
And you find that humorous?
I think it's funny when I hear Santa say, I'll kill an elf tonight, and you know I'm not kidding. So all the elves are like, yeah, you know, Santa means it because we,
Yeah, because they saw an elf turn up in an ice floe, and you think that's funny?
I think we're talking about fiction here.
Well, but figuratively.
All right. Welcome to the program, folks. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. We're going to settle ourselves. We're going to get into a couple of things tonight. One of them is the Facebook phenomenon, which we feel here on the Phil Henry Show, is now gotten into a gargantuan, it has morphed into a large mutant. It no longer is a well-oiled and groovy kind of social media thang, it is now a mutant not unlike Frankenstein's daughter. It's a mutant...
Now, which was the Frankenstein daughter?
That was the one we seen the other night, remember? And she's all mutated out and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Which one? So we're going to talk about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Now's the best possible time to get a backstage pass if you don't have one. You can listen to the show and you can watch the show. And starting this week, we're on TuneIn. We will have our own channel on TuneIn. That means you don't have to go surfing around looking for us on TuneIn, baby. We will be there for you. Our own channel on TuneIn, and it's going to be a beautiful year. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And again, online at philhenryshow.com, you'll find our PhilCast, which is our Phil TV in HD, and that's what's on right now. It is such a good picture that when I look at it, I can't believe how ugly I am. And,
Phil, you're not ugly. You have fortunately for you, you're a man. Men get character. Women are the ones that look horrific, that look like Medusa, that look as if they should be put away in a segregated colony, not unlike the woman in the Twilight Zone with the face. Well,
you're talking about the Twilight Zone where the woman had her face bandaged.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
How are you feeling, General?
Well, I'm feeling fine. I'm a little perturbed at
Come on, General. Get some water.
What's wrong with him?
He's still got a little bit of the speed in him.
I'm still a little...
Are you wired?
I'm a little bit wired, yes.
What did he do?
He...
Huh?
I don't know, Phil. He apparently over the weekend was doing a family trust. He was doing some legal work, and it had to get done, and he popped some bennies.
Yeah, he said he took... I don't know what it means. He said he took a rack of bennies.
He took a rack of bennies. Now, what does that mean?
Oh, quit playing dumb.
Look, don't give me this stuff, okay, Margaret? I'm asking some questions, and I mean it. What does it mean?
A rack of bennies... I don't know. Is it 10?
It's probably about 10 Benzedrine.
Boy, oh boy, I'll give one thing for the general, man. He's very nostalgic with his drug use, isn't he?
That is not funny.
Well, but because of Adderall, he said Adderall's too expensive.
Adderall's too expensive on the street, is that it?
That's what he said. That's not what he said. That's what I would say were I him, and I'm not him, thank God.
That's the way to really cover that one up. All right, so getting back to what it was, how's he doing, bud?
General, how you feeling? You okay?
I'm feeling fine. I don't like to be touched, though. You got your paws all over me, Dickman. You don't do that.
Yeah, but Doug tried to get you back in the studio.
All right, I told you could lead me to the door. I'll find my way to the chair. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, well, you can take your hands off him now, bud.
Would you get your hand off my belt?
I'm trying to guide him.
Okay, guide me. No, just help me get over. Yeah. All right, is that... Whose face is that?
Can you get your hand off my face? What, are you blind?
No, I'm not blind. Okay, it's Phil.
I gotta ask you now, you know.
I will not answer any questions, not if the Borden's logo over here.
The Borden's logo, is that right?
What's that mean?
Yeah.
Don't hit the microphone, Robert.
I'm sorry. What's that mean?
You want to tell him or do I?
I'd like to hear you tell him.
The Borden's logo, Borden's was a dairy, and the logo was a cow.
Hey.
And what are you...
Get out of here with the applause.
You know, General, it's because you're a drug addict that I won't say anything.
You can't call me a drug addict. I had a relapse. That's very unfair.
Well, General, if you have some kind of a substance abuse problem, I'd like to know now, okay?
I don't have a substance abuse problem... I have a substance problem, and it's very different. A substance abuse problem is when an individual... Forget it. Why am I explaining myself to you? You guys are nothing but a bunch of pea pickers. Think that's funny, huh?
I don't think it's funny. I don't like being called a pea picker.
Well, you look like a pea picker from way back.
Okay, I will tell you this, General. You know, keep it together here, all right?
You're talking to me like that, right? I'm a retired general of the United States Army, and you're telling me how it's going to lay out? You're laying it down?
Yes. In answer to the question, yes. All right. 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So, a couple of things. Number one, starting next week, we are going to be, we will have our own channel on TuneIn.
Finally.
Yes. So that's going to be exciting, and we're very, very grateful for all of that. See, one of the things about any kind of media commitment is that you have to make a commitment, you know, and we did not want a long-standing commitment. So it was a contract. You sign a contract. I won't get into the particulars on the air. But we went into some, you know, just told them we didn't want to do this and we would like to do that. And they said, well, okay, great. So next week we will be with TuneIn. But the other thing that happened here over the last few days is we got rid of, or didn't get rid of, but powered down our Facebook friend page. Now, I know that we've talked a little bit about this, but it bears a little more discussion, or at least it bears a couple of more minutes of monologuing. You see, I believe, and I'm not saying this to be cruel. I'm not trying to...
Just turned on a fan.
I know, because I'm hotter than hell in this place, man. We had a lot of stuff going on today. We had guys here in the studio until God knows just about airtime as we were finally getting our internet repaired, our internet connection. That's a whole other thing. That's a Time Warner discussion. But so, you know, we powered down the Facebook friend page. Now, I got to tell you something. As I mentioned, the Facebook experience has mutated into some kind of a, like the toxic monster, you know, something like the thing from the lagoon. It is no longer, if it ever was, and I don't think it ever was, an experience of friendship and collegiality and conviviality, you know?
What's collegiality mean?
That, like in college.
Collegiality is a collegialism. Well, Phil, I interrupted you.
Yeah, collegiality, professional courtesy, the scholastic, the collegial as in college, as in courtesy, courteous, you know, with manners and with respect, that kind of thing. So,
well, that's not really, I mean, you just defined it like you're in a bar room and you're zipping, well.
Yeah, you define it like you're zipping up.
That's it. You're defining it as if you're zipping up and just doing a quick rinse of your hands, Phil. There's more to it.
Like I'm zipping up and what?
Well, Phil, what Margaret is saying, if I may, Margaret.
Yes, you may, as long as I'm not the Borden's logo.
Well, you're right. Go ahead.
So I am the Borden's logo.
For now, I'm still a little bit miffed.
Never mind.
Okay, you two better grow up real fast, because this is the week. This week and next week, I'll be cleaning house and getting a whole new crew in here if you guys don't settle down. You understand?
Look at you laying it down.
Yeah, talk about someone laying it down.
Yeah, I'm laying it down, all right. So anyway, the Facebook experience began to get, for me, as it does for a great many people, because I've talked to them, creepy. Now, this is only about I can't even say it's 1%. It's a very small, small percentage of people, but they are people that believe if you're friending them on Facebook, they are real friends. No, you're not. You're not. Do you understand? And you have no right to expect that. You have absolutely no right whatsoever to expect real friendship. It is simply, and don't get upset and pissed off. One of the things that has happened with social media is it has created new personas. It doesn't show the real person. It creates a whole new persona. For instance, the anonymity of the internet doesn't really show a person as to who they are. It shows a whole new side to that person that never came out, that person kept down all of their life because there was simply no place to vent it, so they just didn't vent it. With the internet, now comes this whole new person, right? Well, the same thing with the Facebook friend experience. It isn't that these are people sort of keeping an aspect of themselves under wraps. It's an aspect of themselves that never really was articulated. So we're seeing this. And it's pushy and threatening and I think, frankly, probably dangerous in some ways. And pathetic and, you know, all that stuff. So we just decided to power down the Facebook experience. And, man, I was getting all kinds of messages from people like, oh, my God, are you going to do? You can't, you know, all of this, you know.
Real crybaby stuff, huh?
Real crybaby stuff. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. You.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more colorful than a powder puff.
Yeah, Jerry, you do it.
Faster than a speeding bullet, the Phil Hendry Show. Go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, General. General Galen Shaw, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. We have been discussing on our radio show social media, and we are going to bring on here Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Is no better a guy to talk about this than Jay. He is in the security, or at least he's in the security business, and I say that, Jay. I understand that that's what you do. It gets confused because you guys are not an official legal arm of the police. That's the only reason why I keep saying that.
Well, you know, I understand it, Phil, and there are people who are going to get very confused about that, but we are trying to save lives. We're trying to work with police in any way we can, and we do feel that because of the Constitution of America that we have the right to use citizens' arrest power, and that does make us official in the essence of that. So that's why I was saying what I was saying, because I'm not really an individual who is going to take advantage of police. I'm not trying to hurt the police. I'm not trying to do anything.
Did you say you're not trying to hurt the police?
Is this General Shaw?
Yeah, General Shaw.
What did you say, sir?
Jay, General Galen Shaw, yeah, it sounded to me as if you said you're not trying to hurt the police. As if there's, and I know you didn't mean that. It sounded like it's a cattle drive.
Well, it's like on the Sedalia Trail?
Yes, like on the Sedalia Trail.
Kid, you're not going to hurt the police that way.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No, I'm not trying that. I didn't say herd, as in H-E-R-D, you know.
And not H-E-A-R-D.
Hurt is what he said. Hurt.
Mr. Hendry, you don't need to look at me and yell at me like I'm your dumb grandfather that you'd just as soon put in a landfill. Thank you.
Come on, General.
I'm out of here.
Are you leaving?
No, I'm not leaving. I'm getting cottage cheese.
Yeah, we just got some cottage cheese in.
Get the General some cottage cheese in.
Oh, we just got some cottage cheese in. Okay.
General, if your General's still there, I'm not trying to... I didn't say nothing to hurt, you know, to get him angry.
No, Jay, I know you didn't, but Mr. Hendry, I want to go get cottage cheese and calm down.
Okay.
You can't see it, Jay, but Phil has a smirk on his face, as if that's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Well, what's fun about?
What?
What's fun about?
What did he say, man? I can't understand it.
He said, what's it funny about?
No, he didn't. He went, what's fun about?
I'm sorry, Phil. Let me slow down. What's it funny about?
What's it funny about is when the cat says...
That is a United States general. He's not a cat. He's not man. He's not dude. He's a retired United States Army general.
I understand. And nobody has more respect for that than I, okay? I apologize.
All right. Just because I'm sitting here having cottage cheese doesn't mean I need to have my underwear rinsed out by someone other than myself at night. Do you understand? Finally!
All right, General, if you yell at me again, I'm going to assume that you're getting some kind of either premature Alzheimer's or you're still on the Bennies or something. Come on,
let's get some... I got some pineapple cottage cheese.
Well, now you're talking.
Now you're talking. Pineapple cottage cheese.
Don't knock until you've tried it.
I've tried it.
Phil, can we get back to...
Yes, let's... get back to what we were saying. You're not trying to hurt the police.
I'm not trying to hurt the police. What I'm trying to do is just take a peek over the shoulder of the police to try to do what we can to assist them in a job fair that gets ever more increasingly, ever and ever, and more and more and more. You know, more increasingly and more increasingly and more increasingly, you know, tough to do. And that's all I'm saying.
I understand that. All right, so when we talk about the Facebook experience, the Internet experience, I shouldn't say the Facebook. Internet is a different thing from Facebook. It's all part of the Internet experience. When we talk about this, and we're discussing I guess it's not really a security problem, is it?
Well, it's not a security problem. It can be. There's no question about it. We have set up a variety of different profiles on Facebook, on Twitter. These are profiles of different individuals. We have a profile of a housewife. We have a profile of a professional businessman. And we do a profile of a We did do. Darn it.
You did do.
No. We did do.
You're trying to say you did do due diligence.
We did do due diligence, exactly, General. Thank you. Thank God the General's there. You're giving him a hard time. Talk about his pineapple cottage cheese. What about yours, you know, is a way of saying, you know, is a way of speaking.
Yeah, okay. What about my pineapple cottage cheese? Okay.
I'm saying a figurative sense. You know, if the General, you think the General crackers, you sound every bit as crackers as him, right? And I'm not trying to put you down. I think we all, in our own way, are a cracker, you know.
You did do your due diligence. You did do. God, now it's happening to me. You did do.
We did do due diligence on getting a teenage girl profile set up, but we felt that was going. We were going to run into some legal problems. So instead, we have a young female. We have an adult female profile that we set up. These are all on Facebook. They all have large friend lists. See, one of the mistakes that a lot of people make when they put a fake profile together is they don't realize that one of the things that makes a profile appear real is that there's a real list of friends, you know?
Yeah, I understand. If somebody just set a profile up, they're only going to have one or two followers maybe, or maybe no followers, and that's a dead giveaway, right?
It's a dead giveaway. Absolutely. It's a dead giveaway, you know? You know, Phil?
Yeah, I know. It's a dead giveaway.
Right, it's a dead giveaway. So the profiles that we do are very professional. They look realistic, and they can be used by us in order to draw in, whether it's a pervert, it could be an individual who is looking to steal from a business, it could be an individual who's looking to manipulate a single female housewife, try to break into the house. You'd be surprised, Phil, when people on Facebook give out their address, and they, not their address, but when they're going to go on vacation.
Yeah, but now I seem to recall a time when you had said on one of our shows, you're going around asking people when they're going on vacation, and if they didn't give you the date that they were going on vacation, then you would wait to see when they actually did go on vacation and then burglarize their house?
No, sir, I never said that.
Well, something like that.
I thought I heard something like that, too.
No. I said, Roy, I tell you, that's, you really got to be careful there, Mr. Henry. I didn't say that. I said, we ask people in any sector, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police has six basic sectors that are in the South Bay. We have North Sector. We had the four directional sectors, north, south, east, west sector. Then we have blue, and then we have dark green, which is an homage to D-Day. And so those are the six sectors. We have north, south, east, west, blue, and dark green sector. When you go into dark green sector, because we did name it after D-Day, you know, you do feel a special amount of pride, and you do feel like you really won't get the job done. So that was a dark green job. And that's what that was, you know.
Okay.
Well, what does that mean? It was a dog green job. So that meant what?
Well, that meant that we wanted to know when people were going on vacation. And if they didn't tell us, we would not break into their home. We would not do anything that was that extreme, we would simulate a teenage vandalism attack. And by simulate, I mean we'd toss eggs at the wall, toilet paper up a tree or bush. Or in some instances, you put soap suds on a window. Or in another instance, you would do, you know, a cherry bomb or dog do or dog dropping in a bag and set on fire. Now, is that what you were talking about?
I had no idea you were doing that. I see, what you told me, that's almost worse in a lot of ways.
How is that worse?
Well, it doesn't sound worse. It sounds...
Can I jump in here, Phil?
Yes, you may, General, so long as you're all done.
Well, Phil, I was the one that was insulted. I was called a drug addict.
I didn't call you, and you called me a cow.
I take back the cow reference, but I...
All right, I don't want to talk about this. Did you have a question?
No, forget it.
Come on, Daryl.
And by the way, Henry, you're out of pineapple cottage cheese.
Phil, can I make a comment?
Go ahead. You know, that's why you're here.
Yeah, but this is about the general.
Whoa, Sunshine. I don't want that rubber bullet cop saying anything about me. I already had a Guernsey cow and now a rubber bullet cop.
All right, that's it. Now I'm getting up and going to the bath.
Now she's crying. Are you happy?
I don't care. She's the one that called me some hyped up Times Squared needle.
Phil, I'm going to start to cry too because he just called me.
All right, well, everybody, I'm going to put everyone on hold, and everyone can snivel and cry, and I'm going to take a break. How about that? Good Lord. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. What the hell's going on with it? Look at that. Oh, my. Look at that. What is that?
Well, it's going haywire.
I've got something wrong here with the WaveCart program, bud. Can you fix that?
Yeah, it looks like it's going haywire and everything, and I'm not really sure about it.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for that. We're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What I have here is a problem with the wave cart. Okay, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And, you know, get a backstage pass. Get yourself access to 5,000 hours of Phil Hendry Show material and more. And we'll be back right after this very soft and loving moment. Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Wow, what a night, man. We're back from our we're back from our vacation, and we've got everything's going good, but by the same token, I got all this stuff behind the scenes.
Well, what were you doing fooling around back there?
I wasn't fooling around anywhere, Margaret. What I was doing was I was trying to get a couple of... What's the plural of computer mouse? Not a regular mouse.
Plural what?
What's the plural of a computer mouse as opposed to a regular mouse?
It's mouses.
The computer? No, it isn't. It's mouses or it's mices. And the reason why, I know that sounds ridiculous, but there has to be a differentiation between, I don't know.
Jay, we got Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who he got disconnected in the middle of all of this. We'll get him back on the line. Maybe we'll ask him. But that's what I was doing. I was messing with some mouses that had gotten tangled up. And as a result, they had knocked over a couple of speakers. And the next thing you know, there's Phil back there playing technician. Hey, Jay, do you know what that is?
I'm sorry, Phil. Do I know what it is?
What is the plural of a computer mouse?
Because the plural of a computer mouse.
Yeah.
In other words, what's the plural term if you have more than one mouse?
Well, I, if you're talking about a computer, you're not talking about breeding a mouse.
Breeding? No, computer mouse.
Mr. Santos, we're not talking about...
General, excuse me, but you call me a rubber bullet cop, so all bets are off. I'm talking to Mr. Hendry.
No, all bets aren't off. I'm addressing you now, and I'm saying to you... Are you listening to me?
La, 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 la. No, I'm just going to be doing that.
All right, I'm sorry I called you a rubber bullet cop. You feel better?
Yes, sir, I do. And there's no need to rub it in.
I'm glad that he's rubbing it in, Jay. You got to be some kind of a baby He called you a rubber bullet cop, okay? Worst things, you go out in the world every day and people say that you're wearing your fairy-ass-looking Citizens Auxiliary Police uniform and your fairy-ass this and your fairy-ass that, right?
Oh, boy. You know something, Mr. Henry? I have tried very, very stringently and very, very hard not to have anybody make fun of me, and you went ahead and you did it. I've tried very, very stringently to avoid having people say you look like a fairy and you boy.
I'm not saying you are. Do you understand?
Jay, he's not saying that you are. He's simply saying that if you don't like being called a rubber bullet cop, but people have called you worse.
People have called me worse, but I've never had a United States American general say it. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm speaking as a United States general of the United States, of the U.S. Army.
Well, that's not exactly what you're called.
What are we doing here?
I'd like an apology from for him to give the title correctly.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta give the right title.
All right, I understand. I'm a retired United States Army general.
There you go, right there. That's what I want to hear, right there. That's good.
All right, I'm a retired United States Army general, and I'm saying I'm sorry for calling you a rubber bullet cop.
And your name?
Oh, baby.
Well?
No, you really want $300. My name is General Galen Shaw.
That's all I'm asking for, General. That's all I'm asking for. Okay. So, I understand. Now, when Phil says to me that I've been called worse, he's right. I have been called worse. But as I said, not by a U.S. Army general.
All right. So, we're all done with that, and those wounds are healed?
It's not like Mr. Henry, I'm not butthurt, and I think that's what you're saying, you know?
Hey, Mr. Henry made no reference to being butthurt.
Well,
he did not say you're butthurt, Jay. He said that you had your feelings hurt.
Right, I had my feelings hurt, but he's going, oh, are you all...
He said, do you feel better?
No, he said, are you all well, like I'm rubbing my...
No one said you're rubbing it. Are you?
I was, but not for that reason.
Okay, are we done? Is everybody feeling better? Can we get back to the discussion here?
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Phil.
All right, so we're talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Who's butthurt, I guess, on account of...
Will you get over that, Mr. Santos? No one said you were butthurt, all right? I think you're saying that you think I said that because you happen to have been rubbing your ass at the moment I said that. Is that correct?
I'm not prepared, sir.
Is that not correct, sir?
I think that's the problem.
I was, at that time, reaching down and rubbing my ass in a joking way because I've got some of the subcommanders here. I got Subcommander Gleason, I got Subcommander Futard, and a couple of guys. So I rubbed my ass in a joking way. And then you said it might butt hurt, and there I was rubbing it, and the other two guys then went from looking at me as being someone who was cool, and now I look like a...
Now you look stupid.
Yeah.
Jay, I'm very sorry. If I had known any of that was happening, I never would have referenced butthurt.
That's all I was trying to say.
All right. That's great. So I think we have probably come to the end of our discussion.
Oh, great. Now you're going to leave and I look stupid.
Well, let's finish this up so Jay doesn't look like he doesn't look as if there's something dripping off of his chin that resembles...
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's all right, Jay.
Okay, so what is the answer, Jay, in this crazy world of the internet and people feeling unsafe? You know that no one is going to, not people in general, they're not leaving social media.
No, they're not leaving social media, Phil, but what they do need to do is when you're on social media, you have to present an attitude and a personality that is very much a formal one. You have to be an individual who accepts questions and answers questions and asks questions and answers questions and so on as a very formal person, like you're at a very formal party, that you're very formally shaking hands. And I think that's what's got to be. And when people are rude to you, you simply block them. Just block them out. That's the end of that. You don't have to do anything else. Just block them out. But I can tell you that it is very, very difficult for a lot of people, because a lot of people need the friends. They need to have contact. We recognize that. And what we do in the Citizens Auxiliary Police is when we start to get bothered by these people, we will contact them and simply say, you are exhibiting a personality and a you're exhibiting an activity and a personality that is putting people off. It is disgusting people. It revolts people. And you need to do something else with your time.
So you contact these people. You break your anonymity.
We break out of the anonymity. For instance, in this young woman persona that we have, whose name I'm obviously not going to give for obvious reason, she has attracted, or this personality, this profile has attracted the interest of young men. And some of them have gotten pushy, and that's when we break the anonymity. We say, we are the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and you can back way off right now because we're going to find out where you live and...
And what?
See, that's illegal, threatening them.
No, it's not illegal. No, it's not illegal. No, it is not illegal.
What do you say?
We say that if you don't back off, we'll find you and, you know, we'll mess up your day. I mean, we're not...
Well, that sounds like a threat.
No, it's not a threat. It's not a threat. Believe me, it's not a threat.
Are you intending physical harm?
I'm not intending... No, I'm not intending nothing. I'm not intending nothing.
All right, hold on, Jay. We'll be back. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we are discussing here, ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web, the social media aspect of the World Wide Web. They have three fake personas that they set up on Facebook to try to catch aggressive and harassing people. And once they find them, they... call them up and tell them that we'll mess up your day. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, sure.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, back from vacation 2014. Look us up online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass, which is a subscription to our website. You have the largest repository of radio material in the history of the world. It just so happens to be radio material from a pretty special radio show, our show. And over 5,000 hours of great radio is there. And as well as our nightly video cast, as well as a potpourri of miscellany like, video casts we've done over the last 20 years, to interviews that we've done, to television pilots that we've been involved in, to television shows we've been involved in, to interviews online, to print interviews, to our Aspen seminar. I was on a seminar with in Aspen, Colorado, that I never should have been a part of, and it's there on our website.
Now, this I've got. Which one is this?
This was a... Margaret, you were there.
Yes, I was there. Unfortunately, I was there, and I was the unfortunate witness to this disaster. Let me take some time.
Do we have to go through the whole...
Well, you brought it up, Phil. All
right, well, before Margaret gets in it, so just go to the website, philhendryshow.com. And...
Well, now I'm going to go look for the disaster that it was, you know?
Yeah, you should have brought that up.
Well, that's Phil for you. Phil loves to sit there and go, well, ladies and gentlemen, but you do it better than me. You do it.
Oh, yeah, you know, so go to the website. And,
all right, shut up.
No. I love it, bud. Go ahead.
Go to the website, and there's all kinds of really good stuff there, and, yeah.
Okay, are you done?
No, we're not done. We're not done. This seminar that Phil was involved in, is Jay Santos still on the line?
We do. We have Jay. We're holding him over for an extra... Do you want to talk to him?
Yes. Jay, are you there, dear?
Oh, yes, Margaret, right here.
Do you remember accompanying Phil to... Aspen, when you were acting as security for him?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, we had to leave the Aspen auditorium, what have you, that we were in for the embarrassment of, being there.
No, you did not. You had to go home early, left for the embarrassment.
Well, I mean, it's fortunate that we did have to go home early because you were really making a total... nincompoop out of yourself.
Well, this I've got to hear. I must hear the details. Go ahead.
Well,
excuse me, I'll do that part. I was just asking you about your security.
Okay.
Well, Jay, we don't mean anything by that.
No, it's fine. You know, Margaret, go ahead, Margaret. You run the show anyway.
Excuse me, no, she doesn't.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does, Mr. Henry. I think there's everyone that listens. She runs the show. You are, if I can say the word that Mr. Dozier has used so many times, you're her boy.
He hung up.
Yeah, he hung up.
Wow, he's pissed.
Well, I think so. I think he has been treated... You know I'm not the biggest Jay Santos fan, but I think he has treated himself... You've treated him.
Well, you treated him. You've treated him well, Phil, but you treated him...
What did I treat him as? Bad?
Yes, you treated him as bad. Boy, what grammar. Anyway, Phil Henry, ladies and gentlemen, was at the Aspen Comedy Festival. Now, he had just done a triumphant radio show. I must say, it was a tour de force. It was a triumph.
Yeah, I remember that part. That was really good.
Okay.
Yes, and then you had an agent at the time, and I don't want to... I won't mention his name.
He was a good agent, okay? He was a good man. All right.
Well, he talked you into doing this panel on a Sunday morning. My God. My God, my God. What hast thou done to be a part? It really sickened me to...
Well, what happened, for God's sake? This sounds like the Bible, you know.
Excuse, do you mind?
Margaret, get to the point.
The point is this. You were on that panel with Drew Carey, with Stephen Colbert, with who else?
Drew Carey, Stephen Colbert, Mike Murphy, who's a political advisor here in California, and Gary Trudeau.
Gary Trudeau. Those are some very heavy names in the world of satire, or if you will, satire.
Whoa, there, sunshine. Holy... Gary Trudeau, I'll give you. Okay. Stephen Colbert, I'll even... I know who else was there. Greg Proops.
Oh, my God. You were in the jaws of the lion, and you got your ass handed to you. You got your ass handed to you.
Margaret.
You got your ass handed to you.
Well, boy, Phil, that sounds like... That's a pretty heavy group of people. Wow.
Oh, well, is it now? Let me just explain something so everybody knows. I didn't get my ass handed to me. I got my ass handed to me in the politics end of things.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. This was a panel that was... This is the Aspen Comedy Festival, and it's supposed to be a panel on how much, you know, a piece of crap George Bush is, which... At the time, I wasn't really all that willing to say the guy's a piece of crap. I guess that made me unique in all of Hollywood or something, which I know it didn't. But everybody else on this panel, with Drew Carey being the most slimy, and when I say slimy, Drew Carey on this panel, I never really could figure out which side he was taking, except whichever way the wind was blowing, he decided he'd be on that side. And most of the time, the wind was blowing against me. So he, you know, whatever. They were all, they were all like world-class guys in their field, world-class comics, world-class funny guys. But it happened to be a crowd that was anti-war, anti-Iraq war, anti-George Bush. I mean, it's just basically a real progressive crowd. And so I made a big mistake of being on this panel. I should never, because of how I was feeling then and how I still feel, I'm a lot more hawkish when it comes to these issues. And the issue... was at that time, it was the re-election of Bush in 2004, and it was also the Iraq War. It was a whole lot of stuff that, you know, a guy like me having these... And I went in there trying to be all intellectual.
Well, that's the other mistake you made. What a dummkopf for you to go in there.
Dummkopf!
Take it easy, bud, all right?
Watch it.
For you to go in there, Phil, and try to be Mr. Intellect, these guys are comedians for a living, for God's sake. You were bound to get your ass handed to you, woo. To you, woo. Now, Phil, I'm emphasizing because I want you to learn a lesson. A lesson that I don't think you've learned in all the intervening years. And that is, you don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining.
What does that mean?
What are you laughing at now?
What has that got to do with anything?
What did I say?
You said don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. What I meant was, the lesson, Phil, is that you don't jump into a hot tub full of guys that aren't wearing underwear or bathing suits, that are hung like stud mules, and there you are with the...
Yeah, there I am, what?
You got into a hot tub with five studs without their bathing suits on.
Oh, I see. And I...
You know, you can laugh all... You know something? It really sickens me when you can't admit you're wrong and you sit there and you go... I'll be in the bathroom. Yes, bud, in the bathroom taking a dump. There, you happy?
Well, I just want to make sure there's toilet paper.
I don't care.
Well, you better care. What are you going to...
Well, are you actually going to ask me what am I going to wipe with?
You're the one that just announced to the world what you were going to be doing in there, okay?
What I'm going to be doing in there, it makes it sound worse when you put it that way.
Margaret, would you just go and do and keep quiet, please?
General...
Would you please keep quiet?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
God. So, yes, General, that was the upshot. They were,
Well, what were these clowns doing? They were all bad-mouthing our commander-in-chief?
Yes, they were basically saying Bush is a jackass. Colbert was there. Colbert was... This was before Colbert had his own show. He was still doing the reporting, you know, for... or playing the part of the reporter on the Jon Stewart show. Drew Carey had just... Was just about to get signed to The Price is Right, I think. He hadn't yet. Greg Proops, who was a great... very funny guy, very quick, and he wears that hair, you know?
Yeah, what's up with that hair, man?
Well, it's just his trademark, you know, and this was before he did, I think he was doing a couple of shows for Comedy Central. I think he's done a couple of shows for Comedy Central. And Gary Trudeau is very sweet. He's a very nice guy. I liked him a lot. And he's the guy who defines satire, and I always quote him. Trudeau said that satire is humor with a point of view. He said that during this seminar, but I remember talking to him backstage, you know, before we went on, and I thought, God, this guy is he really is every bit the kind of sort of just hippied out progressive kind of guy. You know, there wasn't anything about the celebrity about him. Nothing about the hi, I'm Gary, you know, Trudeau, the very famous cartoonist. Just a regular dude. You know.
Well, the guy, you know, when you're married to a piece of tail like that, Jane Pauley. You know,
Jane Pauley's about 100 years old now. Are you out of your mind or something?
Don't tell me I'm out of my... You know something, Dickman? I may be old, but I've got a boot for your ass.
You said a bad word.
All right, let's take a break, finally. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll come back with Vernon Dozier here. Talk football. A lot of stuff going on, including you, bud, and Steve Bozell. You'll be covering the NFL playoffs like a freaking blanket. This weekend, right?
Yeah, we're going to be coming down on it like a broom, man.
All right, so we'll talk to those guys. We'll also have Vernon Dozier up next, talking a little bit about the world of sport, of football, and some of these bowl games. Right now, Oklahoma's leading Alabama 31-24. Not that anybody really cares about the All-State Sugar Bowl, except people who go to Oklahoma or Alabama or their alumni or NUS. So anyway, that's it. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Don't forget to backstage pass it, baby, when you get a chance. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Next week, I want you to check TuneIn, because we're going to have our own dedicated channel on TuneIn starting next week.
Yeah!
All right.
And what does that mean?
Well, TuneIn is an app that you have on your smartphone.
So you've got to get a smartphone, is it?
General, if you don't have a smartphone...
No, I don't have a smartphone. Would you please turn that off?
Turn it off, will you, Phil? Turn the garbage off, would you please?
Sorry.
I mean, I love blues, and I love that music, but when you have it playing, and I have something better to say... It turns into nothing more than screeching jungle. It's
very difficult to listen to, Phil, when I have something to say as well.
But other than that, you guys like it?
Yes.
Yeah, I like it too, but I got something to say.
It sounds like, well, you're black. You can't call it jungle music.
Oh, I can. I can kick your ass.
Hey, wait, whoa, whoa.
He deserves it. Get him. Kick his ass.
Well, hey,
start. Break it up before I kick both your asses. And what are you doing, egging him on?
I'm getting sick of his mouth.
Yeah, I am too.
All I said was, because you're black, you gotta like blues.
I don't have to like nothing, man, I don't want to like.
Why does he have to like the blues just because he's black, for God's sake?
Well, now, Phil Robertson, wait a minute, that jackass, who's that guy?
What jackass?
Oh, you're talking about Phil Robertson on that Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, he's a hillbilly. Why don't you like him?
That guy's the biggest clown that has ever graced the airwaves, man. Are you kidding me with that guy? First of all, he's talking about marrying 15-year-olds. Then he says that black people never had the blues before. Black people never had the blues before. Some of the best blues music was written before the Civil Rights Act, so I don't know where they're getting that.
Well, he said Philip, it was a lot worse than that. He said that black people never had it bad until the Civil Rights legislation stirred them up. That's typical white man thinking. And I don't know why A&E, which is a channel I used to support...
Well, let's get Vernon Dozier on the line here. Vernon's with us from Glendale, California. He is a teacher at Belmar Academy, and Vernon is also a member of the administrative board there, and he joins us on our newsmaker line to talk about that as well as some other things. Vernon, en route now to a football game, right? Junior college?
We're on our way to a JC game. Yeah, Phil, we're going to see Pierce College play, and some of the junior colleges here in the L.A. area are having their bowl games as well, if you will, and having their playoffs and so forth, sir. And look at a all-star game here among some of the junior colleges here in the area.
All right. Now, this guy, this Duck Dynasty guy, Phil Robertson, what do you think of him?
Well, what am I supposed to think of him? He's about as stupid as they get. Look, I come from Texas. I don't know where that jackass is from. I think he's Virginia or something, but...
I don't know. You know, General?
Well, why would I know? I don't know where that... just because he's some hillbilly...
We can look it up if you want.
By the way, the Atlanta Thrashers, Phil, I've got some information for you on them.
Oh, yeah. I was asking, where are they from?
Yeah, what do you mean, where they're from?
I mean, where the Atlanta Thrashers, where did they go?
Yeah, where they went. They moved to Canada. The Atlanta Flames moved. They went to Calgary. That's where they went.
No, not the Atlanta Flames, the Atlanta Thrashers.
Well, which team is the Atlanta Thrashers?
The Atlanta Thrashers, General, is the team that we're talking about right now.
All right, and what are the Atlanta Flames? Are they already moved?
The Atlanta Flames already moved. The Atlanta Flames existed many years ago in the 70s, and they moved to Calgary, and they became the Calgary Flames. Now we're talking about a different team, and this is the Atlanta Thrashers, and they came into existence... Well, you got the information?
Yeah, the Atlanta Thrashers started their existence in 1997 as part of a... four-team tiered expand. I'm reading this off of this Wikipedia, so...
Mr. Henry doesn't like Wikipedia on account of they lie.
Well, no, they don't. If it's properly annotated...
I'm getting more and more used to Wikipedia being a good source because they are sourcing things much better. It used to be just a free-for-all garbage site, really. But if you've got properly sourced material there...
Yeah, and they've got footnotes, and they've got little numbers here, and... Everything's got a number on it, which is what you click on that, and then you go to the... Now, here's the thing. Some of these articles, even on Wikipedia, the articles that you think are well-sourced on Wikipedia, when you go to the article, it's an article that article's full of crap. See what I'm saying?
Well, it just means that people have to be smart, you know? I mean, just because you go to a website that says Wikipedia or has Pedia at the end of it doesn't mean that they've got the right information. So, you know, people got to be responsible for their own information. You can't pass some law that says, other than the fact that, you know, you can't slander somebody and you can't libel someone, but you can't pass a law that says, your encyclopedia had better be very well sourced or you're going to be under arrest.
Well, that'd be pretty funny, though. Believe me, there's some people I'd love to see half of the editorial staff at the Britannica, the one that we use at school is the Britannica.
Britannia.
No, it's not Britannia. It's the Britannica.
It's the Encyclopedica Britannica.
There's something wrong with what she just said.
Yeah, it's not Encyclopedica.
That's not what I said. I said the Encyclopedia.
No, you said Encyclopedica. We heard it. Everybody here heard it. Mr. Henry heard it?
Yes, you did say Encyclopedica.
No, I did not say... Don't look at... Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Margaret, I mean, okay, fine. You didn't say it? You don't think you said it? We heard it. What'd you hear, Vernon?
I heard Encyclopedica.
Yeah, see? What about you, Robert? What about you, Robert?
I don't know, man. I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of?
What's she gonna think?
Robert, I want you to tell the truth.
All right, you said Encyclopedica.
You dirty black...
Wow!
Oh, man.
Wow!
I didn't say that.
Yeah, see, I told you. Does every now and again a racism come out of her?
I did not. That is not racist. I expected more loyalty out of you. That's all, as a liberal.
You just said you dirty blacks, blah, 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 something like that.
I didn't say blah, blah, blah.
Look, I didn't hear her say anything after black, but just by... man.
You know something, Margaret, and I was perfectly willing to be on your side and let bygones be bygones. And sister, what you just done did.
Woo!
Sister, what you just done... All of you men can gang up on a woman, pin her on the hood of a car.
No. You're not going to get away with that one. No. You're not coming down here with some kind of rape metaphor or something equally as disgusting because you're the one that just said you dirty black blank blank.
I am a liberal, a long-standing liberal, and I support the equal rights of all people. All right?
Yeah, well, I knew you got that racism going to come out.
I have a very, yes, there's a small particle of racism in me. I was infected by a grandfather, but I keep it under wraps.
You were infected by a grandfather?
Yeah, see, Phil, I've heard this story before, okay? This is old hat.
No, you haven't heard this story before.
Yes, see, I heard this story at the open house that we invited you and Frank to that we had for Belmar Academy, because you were thinking about sending your son here.
Yeah, and thank God we decided not to.
Hey, I could care less, ma'am. I could really care less. But the point that I'm trying to say...
You could care less that Jason J. Delmonico, the son of Frank Gray, doesn't go to your school. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I'm saying. I could give a sweet you-know-what.
Wow.
All right. Look, we're going to have to take a break. I don't know what we're talking about now, but I want to get back to what she just said. What you just said, Margaret.
What she or you or me... Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about you. You got infected by a grandfather, so there's a small particle of racism in you. Is that what you just said?
Yes, that's what I just said. A small particle of racism still in me. You want to keep beating it into the ground, Phil. Along with everything else you beat.
She doesn't mean a person either. I know that. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to have to go out on this very spiritual, this very light and lilting spiritual number because I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted by all of yous. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Those two things are all you need. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show on the radio and on TuneIn, philhenryshow.com online. philhenryshow.com got that... You know, what do you want to call? Philcast, yeah.
It's a video cast.
It's a video cast, yeah. And anyway, welcome back to the program. We have a couple of things happening here, as we usually do on this show. We can't seem to have one topic. We've got nine topics. I've got the Atlanta Thrashers. Where did they go? I've got Vernon here talking with us about, I don't know what the hell we're talking about now, but it had something to do with, what were we talking about?
Yeah, you know, something, Phil, it doesn't matter to me. I just...
I know.
Oh, so you were going to let it slide until you remembered.
You mentioned this whole thing about Robert being black.
Oh, no, that was worse than that. She said, you dirty black blank blank.
Phil, I am very, 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 I think this is very unfair. I was raised by very good parents. My grandfather was a member of the Carolina Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, all right? And I loved my grandfather. I will not say that I didn't love my grandfather. I sat at his knee when I was very small, and I listened to him read bedtime stories. And they were generally beautiful bedtime stories. Rockabye Baby on the Treetop. He did the lullabies, you know.
Yeah, that's not a bedtime story. That's a lullaby.
I know that. But he would rockabye baby on the treetop, and then he would throw something in. Like when that dirty little black... blank, blank.
Oh, good God.
Are you kidding?
Do I look like I'm kidding, Phil?
So your grandfather would race up the...
Your grandfather throwing racism. That's what he do. And you call yourself a liberal, and you're infected by that.
I can't help the fact that I've been infected by the racism. of my grandfather, but I've worked against it my entire life.
Wait a minute. Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop.
Yeah, you know how it goes, Henry, don't you?
Yeah, don't you understand it?
Yes, I understand it. I'm waiting for her to... So how does it go?
It goes, rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. What's your problem?
What did your grandfather say?
Oh! I'm sorry.
Yes, that's what we're trying to determine here.
Rock-a-bye baby... I don't want to go into it, Phil.
Well, don't use any... N-word.
No, it'd be rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the dirty little...
The dirty little black kid will fall. Is that what he said?
Well, no, I don't want to say what he said.
Well, that's pretty disgusting, and I'm sorry that you were put through that, but as an adult, you're fully aware of that influence. You can certainly make up your own mind as to what it is you're going to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell him, Mr. Henry. She's the one that makes the decision to say that stuff.
I'm telling you that I was brainwashed by my grandfather, who's the Carolina Lights of the Ku Klux Klan.
The what?
I don't know. It was one of the Klan. One of the Klan.
Sure it wasn't the Clampett Klan?
Woo!
That's pretty good, Phil.
I don't think it's funny at all. I really don't.
All right. Well, I mean, nonetheless, your grandfather was a member of the Klan, and he gave you... all of these bad images and all of this bad symbolism and all of this bad stuff to put into a little kid's head. But it again, and if anybody disagrees with me, tell me, you are an adult woman. You can make up your mind not to go there.
Yeah, you hang it over my head all the time.
I'm not hanging anything over your head.
Then why was it that Robert was afraid to go against you?
Because.
Gabs, Greg, you're going, because.
I'm very, very angry as well as upset. And I also have to go number one. There's three things happening here.
All right, so why don't you go number one, okay? Good God, Henry, why don't you pull your radio show together? Why do I have to be the one?
Wait a minute, who says you got to be the one?
I'm directing everything. Ms. Gray, if you need to go number one, go.
Thank you.
Wait a second.
You're not asking her to come back, are you?
No, but where...
Listen to you, you're all... You know, you sound like that bear on Soupy Sale, that white fang. Why don't you just allow people to do what they need to do, and we can come back here and discuss it. My point is this. Anybody that films a child's head with that kind of imagery, whether it's that Duck Dynasty ass or Margaret's grandfather, I think they need to be put in the back of a pickup truck, and then you drive that truck up to a speed of about 90, and then you just kick them right out the back. Just open up the tailgate and kick them right out onto the freeway.
Sounds good to me.
Well, and what will that do?
Yeah, I'll tell you what you do, General. You go riding with me sometime. We'll do it, and then we'll see what it does, okay? I think that, you know, they say a picture tells a... What do they say? A picture's worth a thousand... It tells a story. A picture's worth a thousand stories that every picture tells.
A picture tells a story.
What?
No.
Yeah, I know. It's a pic. Every picture.
Every picture tells a story.
No, that's not it, man. What's the one?
I know. As soon as I flush, I'll let you know.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's every. It's a word. A thousand words tells the story.
No, that's not it either.
The hell, it's not.
No, I know what it is. Every picture.
A picture's worth a thousand words.
That's it. A picture's worth a thousand words.
Right. That's what I was trying to say. And
no, you were not.
Well, I'm saying to the general, come riding with me. We'll stick those two guys in the bed of the truck. We'll open the gate. We'll kick them out the back. And you tell me if that picture doesn't tell a story.
But will it tell a thousand words? That's what we're trying to say.
No. It's a picture that is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
No, you were not. You were fumbling around like the dumbass that...
Hey, you know, speak for yourself, General. If you say you're a dumbass, that's fine, man. I'll go with that. I can buy into that, okay? I'll buy 100 shares of that. I'll buy 100 shares of you're a dumbass. But, brother, you know, I'm not waiting for any margin calls on my dumbassness. Okay, you know.
Your dumbassness.
I'm sorry, but you know what I'm trying to say. Not my dumbassness.
All right, I'm done. I just flushed, and I've just washed my hands. I'm back. Now, what are we talking about?
We're talking about every picture. They just said they want to put your grandfather in the bed of the pickup truck that, I guess, Vernon, are you driving it?
I don't own a pickup truck.
Well, then whose pickup truck do we have?
It doesn't matter. In the bed of a pickup truck, open the tailgate and kick Duck Dynasty and your grandfather out onto the freeway.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I love my grandfather, but he would need something like that.
All right, then you're in. Do I have your word on that?
Will you shut up? Do you have her word on? You're not going to do that. We're not going to counsel anything like that. The fact of the matter is...
And the guy's name, by the way, is not Duck Dynasty.
The guy's name is what? What is it?
It's Phil something. He's got your name, pal.
Yeah, what a chop. He's got your name.
I stand with Phil, you know.
I have seen that I stand with Phil. Now, I did see you tweeted, I stand with Phil Hendry, but that's not going to take off. No one cares.
Yeah, I don't think on Twitter that's going to do much, Mr. Hendry.
Fine, I didn't think it would. I just thought I would do it as a funny thing to do. I didn't think that I was going to make it into a big ass-kicking hashtag.
Do you think you'll ever be a big ass-kicking hashtag, you, Phil Hendry?
Probably not, but I don't care. I'm just looking to make a living, have a couple of laughs, and have a few shots of tequila on the weekend. All I'm looking to do is make enough money so I can work less and less and less and less, enjoy more and more and more and more booze, chicks, and steaks.
All right.
Yeah! Woo!
About that, Mr. Hendry.
That is about the most... That's the most sexist, vile...
You know, Margaret, you're outnumbered here because what Mr. Hendry just said there is what every man in this world ultimately wants for his life.
Men want to settle down with a family.
No, they do not want to settle down with a family.
Well, hold on for a minute. I mean, I'm not speaking for every man, you know.
I'll tell you something. I've been married 3 times, and I'm married to a woman who is 30 years younger than me. She's just about to hit her 30th birthday. She's 29. I married her when she was just off the stage getting her high school diploma. She just hit 18. The minute she got her high school diploma, I looked at the clock. I had an atomic clock in my car. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, what is it with you people, okay?
We're listening.
We're listening, Vernon.
Yeah, but I can hear you thinking, bull S.
No, I'm waiting for your story. I know part of this story anyway.
All right, well, you can hear the rest of it. When Tiffany graduated, I had been her teacher. In high school.
Yes, we know that disgusting story. We want to know when she was legal.
There was nothing disgusting about it, Miss Gray, because I never laid a hand on her.
Well, but you were already courting her.
I thought we hit it off. We had a shared interest in whatever the hell it was. There was something we had a shared interest in. I forget what it was.
Yeah, you just happen to forget what it was.
No, I don't just happen to forget. We had a shared interest in something. It was something that was happening back then. I think it was Spice Girls or something. Okay.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So you were like, what, in your late 40s, early 50s, and you were really heavy into the Spice Girls?
I didn't say I was heavy into them. I said I was interested in them. In any event, because I'm not going to let you do this, Phil. I've seen you do it before. I'm not going to let you let the impression be left that I'm some kind of a dirty, filthy guy waiting to throw an overcoat open, and it's just pure nude. No way. Not me.
Well, then, buddy, you better start talking. Because this, I don't like the way this story's going.
Well, General, just why don't you sit down and go ahead and vent your colostomy bag or whatever you got to do.
Let's not be rude. Tell the story.
The story's this. She turned 18 the exact second she got her diploma. It just happened to work out that way. I had an atomic clock in my car. I was looking at the clock waiting for her to turn 18. As soon as that midnight hand swept, that you know, the second hand?
Yes.
That's the second hand on an atomic clock.
What's an atomic clock?
An atomic clock is a clock that ain't wrong, man. It's atomic. It's a clock that is wired in to the, you know, to atoms, I guess.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a clock that is powered by nuclear energy.
What? How did I have it in my truck, then?
I have no idea. Maybe you had, like, a satellite clock or something like that.
One of those GPS clocks.
No, the guy that sold it to me said it was atomic.
Oh, look, Dozier, I don't want to tell you how many different ways you lose the IR smart... I'm sorry.
Are you all right?
Dozier, I don't want to tell you how many different ways you lose the IR smart race... But you do.
But you do. Boy, why don't you have yourself a sex change?
Buddy, Anytime you want a piece.
Piece of what?
All right, are we going to hear the end of this story? Tell you what, now let's take a break.
Phil, I want to hear the story here.
We're going to hear the story. You know what the story, he married her right after she turned 18. I heard this story when he first told it. And he took her immediately to a place in Glendale called the Blue Moon Hotel, or motel. Her father and brother drove by and saw Vernon's truck parked in front of a motel room. All the lights are off. Not 2 seconds after they got there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. With the only thing that was lighting up the night was the Blue Moon Motel neon blinking off and on, and apparently it had a short because the two of the O's were going weird.
Yeah, I remember that now. I used to go by the Blue Moon Hotel and never did get fixed that.
What'd they do with it?
They kept the sign.
But they never fixed the sign?
It's still broken, huh?
Yeah, it's still like Blue Moon and the two O's go, you like that.
What do you mean they go, ee-hoo-hoo? What does that mean?
There are two O's on a blue moon.
All right, it's a short in the neon sign. Apparently the two O's are not lit all the time. And that was the only thing that was lighting the night up. Otherwise, Vernon's truck, which was still warm to the touch, is parked in front of the motel room, and the lights are off.
Oh, God, that is vile beyond words.
Well, he's probably going to be pissed at me for telling the story, but we'll be back and hear it in greater detail, shall we say, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Next week, we will be filming an episode of Marin, Mark Marin's fantastic series on IFC, which is now in its second season. And I believe you can get the first episode, the first series, Margaret?
Well, you can get the first season. The first season is on Netflix of the Mark Marin series, Marin. And you will be filming next week?
Yeah, next week. So January the 9th, the 10th, and one other date, probably that following Monday, we will not be on the show live because we're going to be doing the Marin show. And then I'll let you guys know when that airs. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's a...
Would you please just belch and not sit there? It sounds disgusting, Phil.
No, I will not, Margaret. No.
He's not you, Margaret.
He's not you, Margaret. All right, fine.
You know, Margaret, just because somebody's given you a little bit of well-deserved crap doesn't mean you have to turn it into an epic life crisis. Just accept the fact that you're not always right about things.
Yeah. Yeah, Margaret, that's good news.
Fine.
And don't act like you're going to bawl.
I am not used
to... Oh, look at this. Just anytime anybody says anything to you...
Not anytime, Phil.
So we'll be doing that, and then, are you okay?
Pardon me, I'm going to the toilet.
Is it number one?
You know something? How'd you like to die, old man?
Wow, excuse me.
Wait a minute. I'll break it up.
Don't tell me.
Get your hands off me, because I swear to God, you'll pull back two wrists.
All right, after that, we'll also let you know of the episode of Drunk History that was filmed in December that I am very, very proud to have been a part of as I slammed down the Don Julio Añejo on that one, man. Woo! I am telling you, because I don't really drink that much anymore. And doing that episode of Drunk History, that's the most I've had to drink in over a year. The last time I had that much to drink was at my dear, close, personal friend Allison Reynolds' birthday party. And her great husband, her lovely husband, Joel, was there. I'm kidding around, Joel. Her husband, Joel, was everybody was there. And I had a few. I was there with the great James Mulligan, star of stage, screen, and barrooms. And,
yeah, you're adding tequila shots there.
And I was doing it, yeah. In fact, we polished off a bottle of Don Julio Silver at that. But between those two events, that's, you know, that's about it. I mean, yeah, I have a cocktail, but that show, good God. And if you go to Derek Waters' Instagram feed, you'll see a picture. Derek has pictures of everybody that narrates for Drunk History, and there's a picture of me. I'm the only one of the narrators that he's got there on his Instagram feed. I look like I'm really hammered because I'm like, oh, I'm not smiling. I've got a, I'm giving a thumb up or something.
Well, I've seen you. You're giving the thumbs up, and you look like you're just about ready to spew it from here to Great Neck, New Jersey. I can tell you that.
Great. So, drunk history, and then at the end of the month on the 26th, the Sketch Fest in San Francisco. I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be a live show. It'll be on the 26th of January. You can go to the San Francisco Sketch Fest website to get details and get tickets for that. Please join us. Everybody who is a Phil Henry Show fan, so familiar with so much of what we've done over the years on this show, I'm going to begin to take that to the live stage. That is the place, man. That's the place.
You think that's the best logical move, huh?
That's the logical move for us. I've thought about it, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. You can do movies and all this, you know, and certainly we will continue to do our radio show. The radio show is always going to be the, if you will, the platform, you know. But that live show thing, baby.
Can I come back in here now? Because I'm done crying and being a girl, and I want to make some points about what you're talking about.
Did you wash your hands?
You shut your filthy hole, bud.
All right, hey, watch it.
Don't, you know what? Just because I'm being nice, bud, doesn't mean that I remember you. I've got a special...
Hey, Margaret, you know, you've got some really threatening things to say to him. I wish you wouldn't do that.
I'm just telling him to back off.
All I said was, did you wash your hands?
What do you think, genius?
No.
Oh, really?
Hey!
I'll wash my hands in your blood. I'm kidding.
Oh, man. Did you hear that?
I'm kidding, you jack. May I say something about the live show that you're going to do?
Can we get Vernon Dozier back on the show? Can we, you know, get back into the show, if you don't mind? Vernon's been sitting there very, very patiently. I don't know. He was on his way to the mall, I think, with his wife. Okay. Oh, you're at the mall, huh, Vernon?
Yeah, we're... you want to go in there? Tiffany's going. She's going to go in and get... She's looking at jewelry. Yeah, it's all right, honey. Go ahead. So I'm going to sit here, and I got a box of popcorn, and I'm going to wait for her.
Wow.
Well, what's that wow mean?
Well, I mean, isn't that sort of old man-ish?
You know something.
All right, just never mind. Vernon, we were you and Tiffany, so she walks off the stage.
Yeah, she walks off the stage, and at that moment, she had turned 18. I put my, as she's coming down the steps, I'm waiting with my back to the steps. My left arm is out for her to take it. She takes my left arm. We go directly to my truck. We drive directly to the Blue Moon Motel. I had asked them to leave it unlocked, and I would go ahead and sign the registration in the room. They left it unlocked. I swung the door closed behind me. The lights went off, and her brother and her father make a big deal out of that.
Boy, you just couldn't wait to get started, huh?
Well, excuse me, Mr. Henry, but we were legally married.
All right. We'll be back, folks, here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. So his arm was out.
Yes, they went into the room. He asked them to leave it unlocked.
Yeah, I got it. There's Vernon Dozier, folks. We'll be back with more here on other news. We can talk more about our one-man show and more about, you know, Facebook. We want to talk more about social media and the mutant creature that it has become. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and a big, big thanks to our fine, fine friend and tech in Washington, D.C., and that is Nikki. And Nikki has been so good at trying to keep us honest here.
Well, you know, you're sitting there, Phil, and I'm saying this with great respect, but you're sitting there with your thumb parked, you know.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, you're sitting there. Did she not have dead air last week?
Well, not last week.
Yeah, but before I went on vacation, you're sitting there with a thumb parked in it, and she's trying to find out about it.
What? What did you just say?
You don't understand what you're talking about, though. I mean, we all agree. We've been having a lot of arguments tonight, but we're all in agreement with this one. That you had the thumb parked.
You did have your thumb parked.
What do you mean with my thumb parked? I wasn't paying attention.
Bingo. Give the man a cigar. And in fact, give him two. Give him the whole box of Roytans.
I think Roytans are very good myself.
Well, that your shadow. A Roytan, I wouldn't suck a Roytan with your lips.
Anyway,
what was so funny about, and where did you get that laugh?
Yeah, kidding.
Hey, what's with you people anyway, all right? I had my thumb parked, and what?
And Nikki was very good at making sure that the show stayed on schedule while you sat there listening to God knows what and smiling to yourself and remembering some kind of memory having to do with Laurel and Hardy and a bedroom.
Ah, what is that about? Excuse me.
Well?
No. What do you mean, Laurel and Hardy in a bedroom?
Well, you're listening to Laurel and Hardy music, and you've got this... You've got a smile on your face like you're remembering something extremely, extremely graphic.
It did seem, Phil, that, you know, in your mind, you were hearing, oh, baby, oh, you know, well...
Okay. I think you all need a psychiatrist, all of you. Maybe the same psychiatrist, and maybe he can take you all on.
Even me, Miss Emmy?
Yeah, even you, Robert, all of you, because you were agreeing with him.
Well, I mean, what were you all smiling about?
Does it have to have something to do with sex? Does it have to be sex?
Well, the smile on your face, Phil, when the corner of your mouth is white with foam.
Yeah, you had that foam in the corner of the mouth.
Phil, look it, you know, you're the one sitting there with that crap-eating grin on your face, listening to Dixieland music and imagining some kind of, I don't know what sort of scene, anal,
Okay, that's it. Take him for more cottage cheese.
Wait a second. Don't pay.
Come on, Gerald.
I didn't say it. He did.
Yeah. Take him for cottage cheese. What? Why is he on this show again?
Because you told his nephew this would be good therapy for him, didn't you?
Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. In the news, a former Viking punter says he lost his job due to his stance on gay marriage. Not that I want to beat this horse into the into this already dead horse into dog food. Because that's essentially... By the way, nice print job there, bud.
Oh.
Anyway, this is some guy with the Vikings that said he got fired because he got kicked off the team because of his stance on gay marriage. Is Vernon Dozier's gone, right?
Well, I think so. You've had him on for a good part of a three-quarters of an hour, and we only talked to him briefly.
Well, and we had to talk to him about his marriage to his wife. Why did we have to talk to him about that?
Because I think there's something suspect, Phil, about a man who wants to presume...
Well,
hold on. To presume to tell me how to live my life when he spends his honeymoon at the Blue Moon Hotel with the busted neon sign and the still warm truck and the, oh, yeah, you know, I that disgusts me.
You know, that's the one part of the story that nobody mentioned.
What?
I didn't hear anybody say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, you're, that's kind of weird.
Wait. Yes, you did.
No, I don't remember that either, Ms. Gray.
You going to call him a...
I'd like that to be dropped, if you don't mind.
What, this paper?
No, that's...
The topic about race, I better drop that, but you said, you know, that you... Nobody in the story said anything about that.
I'll do it, Robert. No one said anything about when Robert and...
Not Robert, when Mrs. Gray.
When Mrs. Gray... When...
Vernon.
When Vernon went to the motel with his wife and had the neon sign and the lights are off and the truck is still warm. Nobody said anything about hearing, oh, yeah.
Well, I swear to Almighty God they did because I don't pull that kind of filth out of my mind. My mind is not a cat box. Maybe yours and maybe yours and yours. You, all of you out there, but not mine. Thank you very much, not mine.
Okay, well, I don't know where you got it then. Because we didn't say that. Nobody mentioned that.
Can I come? I've got my cottage cheese, and I'm calmed down. Now,
what is it about cottage cheese, General?
Nothing about cottage cheese, Ms. Gray. I just happen to like cottage cheese, and you don't have to begin to get filthy and salacious looking at the white-curded cottage cheese and thinking something nasty.
I was not going to say anything nasty.
Well, you did come up with the whole, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, you do that pretty good, General.
Hey, watch it.
How'd you like your face in this, huh? Have you ever thought about being smothered and dying in cottage cheese? Being smothered with cottage cheese is one thing, but have you ever thought of it being the instrument of your death? I'm asking you a question, son.
No, sir.
You haven't?
No, sir.
Well, have a care.
You know, I don't like that.
What'd you say there, Stutter?
Stutter.
I said I don't like that. I don't like the threats on people's lives that fire so freely around here. Or that...
That flees so fly slowly around here.
Yes, that too. I don't like that. And I'd like it to stop. The threatening people with death.
I didn't threaten. I said, how would you like cottage cheese to be the instrument of your death? I didn't say I'd be wielding it.
Yeah.
Well, laugh if you want.
Well, it is pretty funny, because I'd love to meet the guy who does use cottage cheese as his murder weapon of choice. Maybe that's one for Investigation Discovery. I don't know. So, over the weekend, and over this very long week, there were a number of things that were, a part of our, I don't know what you want to say, process.
How was your Christmas?
Well, Christmas for me, see, I'm a Yule kind of a guy, you know.
And say that again?
I'm a Yuletide kind of a guy. So, I try to make sure that my Christmas is devoid of anything that can even be remotely considered a festival of religion, because I don't want to insult anybody. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm going to celebrate Christmas, then I feel that, yeah, I should be a Christian, to be honest with you, because that's what it means. Doesn't that make sense?
Well, as an atheist, Phil, you're barking up the wrong tree with me. I do know what you mean by Yule. It is pagan, but even pagans worship gods. Gods. That is a plural god. So before I can involve myself in even the pagan rite of Yuletide, I've got to be very clear on what it is I'm being asked to do. Am I being asked to acknowledge the existence of a demon or I don't know what you would call it, an imp?
What's an imp?
Well, those are the gods that were worshipped by the pagan.
Yeah, well... I don't think anyone's asking you to worship the imp of the pagan of the paganism. They're simply saying, are you going to celebrate Christmas? Are you going to celebrate Yuletide or Yule, which acknowledges the existence of the imp god?
Yeah.
Well, what are you looking at me for?
Well, you seem to have all the answers, man, you know. Why are we talking about this now?
Because everybody wants to know what you did on Christmas.
I'm a Yule guy. I'm a Yule guy. I'm a Yuletide guy. So that means I celebrate the festival of the season. I enjoy the season. I enjoy the idea of the harvest or whatever the hell it is that happens around Christmas time. It ain't the harvest. It seems that nature is going to sleep, you know.
Well, what about the paganism of the imp god?
Will you knock it off with the imp god? What is that, man?
Guys, man, you're laughing at a religion.
Well, Phil, you are being rather... I mean, I know why you're laughing. The imp...
Well, you can laugh if you want, Phil, but some of these pagan religions are very specific as to respect as well as to acknowledgement of their deities. The imp... we have Jesus. Western civilization has the legend of Jesus as well as these other religions. The imp, as it was known... is a different kind of a god. This is the imp. It'll get into, because of its size, and you know that the ancient peoples were frightened of the imp for those reasons. It gets into, it's the size of it. It can get into things. I know I'm not making sense.
We're talking about because it's a small imp, it'll mess it up.
Yeah, it'll get into the kitchen.
Well, not into the kitchen. I mean, yes, it can get in because it's a small-sized god. What are you looking at, Phil?
Looking at all three of you. I'm...
Well, I think he thinks you're bananas, definitely, and I think he thinks these other guys are on their way to becoming a banana or bananas.
Yeah, that's pretty. Thank you, General. That's pretty.
So you think I'm nuts?
I don't think you're nuts, but I don't know what it is you're talking about. You know,
Phil, if you say a phrase far too much, that's it. Along with everyone calm down, you also say, I don't know what it is
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What do you mean the imp god? What is that?
You're the pagan.
I'm not a pagan. I'm saying that of the two festivals, the Christmas festival of the birth of Jesus, which is a Christian rite, that's what I see that as. And I have respect for that. I have respect for that. I also understand that there is the pagan festival, or if you will, the non-religious festival, or the whatever, the non-Jesus festival of Yuletide, which is a seasonal, and it predates Christianity. Now, you know, I'm just trying to find and trying to work out, you know, how we don't have to go through these debates. I think the debate has cooled down over the years, and I was very happy to see this year the debate about Christmas and this bull crap about, you know, separation of church and state. I understand that. But see, I've always seen this winter festival that some people call Christmas and some people call Yuletide, I've always seen it as cultural more than religious. So I don't get pissed off, even though I'm very, very much a separation of church and state guy. I don't get pissed off when I see manger scenes and stuff like that, man, because it's a cultural thing for me. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Christian, necessarily. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't mind seeing that stuff because it's cultural as opposed to religious, you know.
Now, can I finish what I'm saying?
I just heard Nikki say we got 18 after.
Well, I don't give us. Who's running this show? You or Nikki?
Right now, Nikki is.
Oh, that's just great. Thanks a lot, Nikki. I want to say the imp. Forget it.
The imp is the one that Ms. Gray is simply saying the imp is the one.
Okay, the imp's the one. All right.
Okay, the imp's the one. Okay.
Margaret, I got to take a break, if you don't mind. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back here with more as we discuss the holidays just passed. It ought to be a groovy, groovy thing. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
You playing Bachman Turner Overdrive? I'm just curious.
Because it's bumper music.
Are you aware that that man, Randy Bachman, got to, I think, 300 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil, you don't weigh 300 pounds and stand up there playing Guitar Hero. It don't happen. Understand something. Before I became a mainstream journalist, I was very heavily invested in the world of rock and roll.
Before you start in. Okay.
Phil, I'm saying...
Before you start in.
Phil, this is something she knows something about. She was... Well, Margaret, I don't think I'm talking out of school. You had sexual intimacies with a great...
Excuse me.
Oh, nice going, General.
What do you mean, nice going, General?
What are you with the sexual intimacies?
You're nothing but a...
Look, and now she's bawling.
Miss Gray, he didn't mean it.
Oh, yeah.
What is it with you?
Before this radio show started tonight, she was regaling me with every blankety blank that she blanked.
I told you. I'm going.
There's toilet paper in the truck.
What is it with the toilet paper? You know, every time. This is the only radio show in the history of the world that the bathroom habits of one of the co-hosts are intimately noted and known by everybody. What?
You're talking to me now.
Yes, I am. What?
I'm saying that before the program started, she was in the green room there telling everybody in intimate detail every last one of the blanks that she blanked. And she even got plaster of Paris impressions made of them. You're aware of that, aren't you?
No, I was not aware of that, General. Why are you bringing that up?
Because she was making a... She was proud of it. And apparently she has them at home... And has them in a billiard room. Forget it.
General, you want to get a cottage cheese?
No, I do not want a cottage cheese.
Okay, that leaves you, me, and Bud. Robert, what do you think?
Well, she was before the show. She was saying, yeah. And when I sang in the studio with Blue Oyster Cult, and this and that and this and that.
Yeah, she talked about Blue Oyster, the Blue Oyster Cult.
And what did she say?
Well, I mean, but what was the general saying?
All right, so, Margaret, are you...
I didn't know that that was going to be on the air. They were asking me, did you sing back up with Blue Oyster Cult? I said, yes, I did. I said, then we went on tour. And I said, I didn't go on tour with a lot of bands. I generally was a groupie in a lot of ways. And yes, I did have a period where Frank and I were separated. Okay?
Yeah.
That I blanked a couple of guys.
And didn't you say you made a Plaster of Paris cast out of who was the guy?
He was the lead singer in The Flock.
The Flock?
The Flock? Yes.
Hey, quit hitting the microphone.
I'll say that. Quit hitting the microphone, Margaret.
Sorry.
You got a Plaster of Paris?
Yes, Phil, and the lead singer in The Flock, Captain Beyond, and Soft Machine.
Well, there's a hell of a name for a guy you're going to get a plaster. Ha, ha, ha. Holy Jesus, did you hear that, Phil? I think I'm going to come out of my slacks.
All right, that's very funny.
Well, that was the name of the group.
Okay, so you got a Plaster of Paris impressions of the lead singer in Captain Beyond, The Flock, and The Soft Machine.
All four of you can rot. I hope you all die looking at the core of the earth.
Miss Gray!
No, forget it.
I don't know why anybody wants to work on this show. I don't know why you guys keep coming back, man. Everybody winds up bawling. Everybody winds up going into the bathroom and weeping. Everyone winds up going out and smoking a cigar and walking it off. Everybody winds up being pissed off. You, General, you go out for your cottage cheese and your Nilla wafers.
That's right. Try and make that sound gay. I happen to like cottage cheese and Nilla wafers. Want to tell me I'm gay? Huh?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying everybody around here is so petty, it makes me just want to cry. I'm telling you. All right, so where were we? Well, we were talking about Bachman-Turner Overdrive, and Margaret, you know, let's get on the phone here. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, because Doug is an entertainment writer, and maybe he can make head nor tail out of this claptrap having to do with Bachman-Turner Overdrive, or whatever the hell it was that she was trying to say. Doug, how are you doing here in this post holiday season, 2014?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing really good, and thanks for inviting me on the program. But say what Margaret was trying to say, that Bachman-Turner Overdrive, Randy Bachman got to the point in his career where he weighed probably about 310 pounds. It's impossible for anybody to take a guitar player who weighs that much seriously. If you're going to get on stage, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Let's just establish that right off the bat. Okay?
Yes, 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 yes.
All right. You sound more and more impatient every time.
I know you're gay, Doug. I understand that. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that you're sick and tired of gay people.
No, I didn't say that, man.
Mr. Henry put a thing on his website, on a Facebook, that was supporting it of the gays.
What, man? You know something, Dickman? The best thing that you can do now is physical therapy, 6 months in the best institution you can find, under a doctor's care.
Okay, so what about Randy Bachman?
He weighed 300 pounds and he looked like a joke on a stick, man, playing guitar. Dig it? That's all she's trying to say.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for that bigoted point of view, Mr. Gay Man and Gay Journalist.
Oh, now wait just a second, man. A fat man's not the same as a gay man. I can't help being gay, but a fat man, well, all he has to do is jog it off. Try a sit-up.
All right, so thanks a lot. Doug Danger, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I totally understand that you can be very, very large and not look all that theatrical being large, but it doesn't mean you're not allowed to play guitar, I didn't think, you know?
Well, you know.
What do you want, Margaret?
What do I want, Am I a host on this show?
You're a co-host, yeah. But you went into the bathroom all upset.
I don't like anybody saying that I'm taking the Plaster Paris cat.
We'll be right back. Billiard Room. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What?
What is this? Is this a joke?
Why can't I play polka music? Is there something wrong with that?
Look, Henry, you know me as well as anyone. I enjoy slap dancing, and I always have. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that that's the best choice in terms of the bumper that you do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm using bumper music.
I can tell you, and I say this without any fear of contravention, I enjoy a slap dance as much as the next man. But this is about as homoerotic.
Well, for once I agree with the general.
Oh, for once you agree. And what's homoerotic about this?
Well, come on, pal.
No, I don't,
Yeah, it sort of is.
No, it's not. And besides, who cares? And you enjoy a good slap dance, huh? By the way, if you have not listened to the Chris Puté show, check it out. It's online at philhenryshow.com. Chris did a live show for us the other night, the Chris Puté Hour, Chris Puté's Love Songs. And I'd play you a selection of it, but the problem is it most likely, because it was on Phil TV, it was not broadcast, correct?
No, this was not a broadcast piece of, it was the Chris Puté show, strictly online, and so therefore some of the language.
Yeah, the language was probably pretty rough on that show. But the Chris Puté Hour is available online at philhenryshow.com. But it wasn't so much Chris Puté, it was, who was playing the polka music?
Blue Cat.
Oh, that's another one, the Blue Cat Hour. He generally plays, I can't explain this guy's show. You would think it's a blues show, but instead he was playing Bavarian slap dance music.
And as I said, you know.
Yeah, you enjoy a slap dance. That's great.
What's a slap dance, man? I mean, the whole thing about slapping it.
I didn't say slapping it. Did you hear me say that?
Yeah, but that's the natural conclusion that everybody's going to come to.
You have to, you agree with that, don't you?
No, I do not agree with that. If I enjoy a Bavarian slap dance, and someone is going to come to the conclusion that I'm slapping it, that the two of those don't... do you understand?
I understand, but the conclusions of others we cannot necessarily be responsible for, General. And if you're saying, oh, God, I love a good slap dance, ooh...
I don't say I love a good slap dance, ooh. You know, the disrespect on your radio show, Mr. Henry, breaks all records. I am a retired United States Army general speaking of my own personal cultural love for a good, brisk slap dance. And you've got this woman here.
I will not be referred to as this woman. Thank you very much. My name is Margaret Gray.
Well, then what is your...
General, you are doing nothing wrong. You are doing nothing wrong.
A minute ago, you agreed with it.
I did not agree with anything. The general's doing nothing wrong, and for you people to sit here and talk about, well, you know, somebody's going to make the assumption that he's slapping it.
That's what they're saying.
Well, all right, fine. I won't bring it up. At all.
87855. God, I don't remember the name of this. I don't remember the name of this show or the number that is used to call into it. 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Frank Gray joining us after a long... is Doug Danger? Are we all done with Doug? Doug, wherever you are, thank you very much. Got to close off that dedicated Doug Danger line, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Doug? Hey, Doug. He's not there.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Frank Gray joining us from Santa Monica, Margaret's husband and an entertainment attorney, as well as a longtime television producer here in Hollywood. How you doing tonight, Frank?
Young man, I'm better than Custer. How are you?
I'm great. We're talking about slap dance, the Bavarian slap dance. Did you ever produce a show having anything to do with something like that?
Well, I would suppose the closest thing to Bavarian slap dance music, and who was talking about this? Was it General Shaw?
Yeah, it was General Shaw.
Well, I know that she enjoys the slap dance. But...
Well, hold on for a minute with the she.
Can you hold on, Frank?
Why are you always telling me...
What?
Well, what's the matter? He called me she.
He's got gender confusion.
General, you know he has gender confusion.
What the hell is this gender confusion? I want someone to explain that to me right now before further notice.
Gender... What is it, Margaret?
It is a form of neurosyphilis. I hate talking about this. This absolutely just embarrasses my family.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm going to have him on the air, and he's calling everybody she.
He's not calling everybody she. He only calls men she.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that because he had syphilis that went... what is it?
It is a neurosyphilitic... His mind is gone because of the untreated syphilis. However, that's the only thing that's wrong with it. Thank God, knock wood. Knock wood, the only thing that's wrong with Frank is that he refers to men as she and women as he and gay people by the right gender. Knock wood.
You know something? That's so jacked up, I want to hurt somebody, what you just said.
I take it easy. Frank, nothing. We had a technical problem and we had to get to it.
Well, what I was saying was that the general enjoys the slap dance as much as anyone, and I understand why she likes it, because General Shaw, being in the military, she and the rest of the men in the military would enjoy anything that is Prussian in nature. Now, I say Prussian in nature, even though it's Bavarian. When you say a Bavarian slap dance, you're talking about a Bavarian slap dance, and the men that dance the Bavarian slap dance are Prussians, or are Bavarians, but they are adhering to a Prussian tradition.
All right, that's very...
It's a little complicated there, Frank.
It does sound complicated, but I knew some old-school German military guys, and one in particular, as a matter of fact, she was terrific at sort of sorting that. She was a general in the old German Wehrmacht.
Is he still around?
Is who?
Is the general from the German Wehrmacht?
No. She passed on. But she wasn't a war criminal, if that's what you're thinking. You're thinking of the SS, and those people were terrible war criminals. People like Kurt Meyer, she was an animal. But Rommel... she was great. Rommel was in the Wehrmacht, and everyone respected her, but no one respected Kurt Meyer. Now,
and who was Kurt Meyer, dear?
Kurt Meyer was an SS general. She was an SS general, but Rommel,
Erwin Rommel was in the Wehrmacht, as you said.
That's right there. What she said. But she could Bavarian slap dance with the best of them, even though she was Prussian.
All right, dear. I think we've got it. Sorry to bother you.
All right.
You know something? I before I start taking it personal, someone better work with him on the whole he-she, because it begins to wig me out. It's wild.
Now, everyone gets wigged, as you say, General, by Frank. But Frank means well.
Yeah, Frank means well. But I'm telling you, every time we talk to him, it's very difficult to follow him, you know?
No, I can follow him fine.
Well, all right, so that is the Bavarian slap dance that you...
Yes, and so the rest of you people telling me... That borders on the advocacy of getting in a slap. Never mind.
It borders on the advocacy.
Yeah, he's saying, yeah, go on out and slap it today.
He's not saying that.
Go on out and slap it today. So if I like slap dancing, I'm advocating what?
Well, you know, I am not advocating that. I'm advocating the slap dance. I'm not saying, come on home early. Get out the hand oil.
Can we not talk about this anymore?
Fine. Fine. That's great. That was outstanding. All right. So getting on to the marvelousness that is Facebook and all of the social media, myself and others that I know of who I will not mention, but there are others, have decided that this new year, and as I said, I have no New Year's resolutions. I have no New Year's resolutions. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'm doing everything that I want to do. But there is one thing that I did do. It wasn't a resolution. I didn't need to make this a New Year's resolution. I just made the decision, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to get rid of that. And that was my Facebook friend page. And to talk a little bit more about the Facebook friend experience, we're going to get on the line here, Rudy Canoza. Rudy, as you know, has been with the Je T'aime Lingerie. It's a place that he owns and certainly a place where he tracks an awful lot of the public mood on a variety of issues. He is also a well-known import-export businessman from Buenos Aires, Argentina, and we're very happy to have him on the line with us. Haven't talked to you in a while, Rudy. How you been?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for being with me tonight, and thank you for allowing me to... be a part of your broadcast tonight.
Rudy, you are there in the store at Jetem. You're on the road traveling. Do you use Facebook for keeping up with your social contacts or business or anything?
I do. As a matter of fact, Facebook for me is an easy way for me to stay in touch with the business side of my life. There are a great many companies that I have dealings with that I don't want necessarily to go to their company website, but they also have a Facebook presence. And being in the import-export business, you're dealing with the international clientele. And that means that you have to stay in touch with a wide-ranging, a very diverse geographically, as well as the actual essence of the business that they're in, to stay in touch with a wide group of individuals. Facebook, though, is a social instrument. It is also something that I indulge in. I enjoy it. I'm not on Facebook I'm not like a teenager, you know.
Well, do you use it to find women?
No, I don't believe. I am not a big believer in that kind of experience because, for me, I must know what I am and who I am speaking with. You know, I don't like to have this internet a wall between myself and this woman, because you can understand if you're going to meet a woman on the Facebook and you go and you say to her that I will meet you for dinner, or I would like to meet you for a lunch, or why don't we go and have a cocktail or two, you know, and then you meet her and you see something that is not going to be satisfying for you, you have to extricate yourself very quickly. I can certainly do that. I know how to respect women, and I'm able to do that. But I think a lot of men do not. But it's not an easy thing.
Well, what do you mean by extricate yourself? You meet a woman and what?
You talk about if he sees a woman and her face is all trucked.
How dare you? Phil, I'm not talking about a woman's face.
All right, take it easy. Bud, have some respect. Rudy, when you meet a woman, you know, and you've met her on Facebook.
Excuse me, I was asking the question, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
No, Margaret, to anticipate what you want to say.
Well, I was asking the question, when you say you meet a woman and you need to extricate yourself, what do you mean by that?
It means that I have to, very respectfully, if I meet a woman through Facebook, and I have...
Well, wait, hold on a minute. If she's on Facebook, then you've already seen the face. That's the whole point of Facebook. Do you understand what I... Facebook means here's my face. Right?
That is exactly right, General. Facebook means here's my face, but it doesn't mean what? It's not called...
Well, it's not called Assbook.
Excuse me, do I have to listen to that?
Bud, will you watch your language, please?
But it's not!
All right, Bud is right. I would not use that word, though, Bud, because I don't think it is very polite, but it's not called... it's not called, you know, the Assbook. It's not called Boob Book. It's called Facebook. If it was called Boob Book, or if it was called Assbook, or if it was called Legbook, then Rudy would have an opportunity to see what the merchandise, and I don't mean to say merchandise in a callous way.
All right, hold on. I have to take a break here, Rudy, and everybody just... Rudy Canoza is with us here as we're talking about the modern social media environment. Is it the same? Is Facebook getting real creepy? I mean real creepy. I think it is, personally, but that's just me. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500... 7445. We'll be right back here on our return from vacation. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, Rudy Canoza on the line with us here as we talk about Facebook. I was just talking during the break, Rudy, to Nikki about everybody getting on their soapbox on Facebook. I know we're talking about Facebook as it's truly a social instrument, meeting people, sharing interests, but the whole political soapbox aspect of Facebook is another reason why I got the hell off that friend page.
Well, you know, the Tea Party, these are the people that I cannot stand myself personally. I don't want to get on my soapbox now, but I don't go on this Facebook any longer because... I always had respect for Americans as being intelligent until I read these Tea Party people, and they are the stupidest people, truly. And I fear for your country. I fear for America, you know. I say this because if you let the Tea Party people take over your country, you will become known internationally. You will become, America will become an international pariah. And you will be known internationally as the country with the stupid... Oh.
Okay, so let's get off that.
Yeah, I don't have to speak of it because when I get home and I speak to my brother, I speak to my family, and they'll say to me, did you go to America? I said, yes, I was in California. And they said, and is it as dumb as we hear it is? I said, it's bad, you know. It's real bad. And they'll laugh at me. I get my family to laugh at me. And, you know, Rudy does not want to be laughed at any more than anybody else wants to be laughed at. And I come home, I say, I was in America. I went to the United States. They're ha, ha, ha. They laugh at me, and they say, you have to be, are you? And they'll say, better give you an IQ test now to make sure you didn't get infected with the stupid that the people there have. So,
okay, we're getting way off the topic of Facebook, though.
Yes, you're right. To make a long story short, Phil, as I was saying, if I meet a young lady and I agree to meet her, and it's always difficult because on Facebook, if I have Je t'aime lingerie, I'm talking about my import-export, and there are women who will say to me, you know, Mr. Canosa, may I have a cocktail with you? May I? And I have to weed through a lot of these before you get, you winnow it down, you know.
What do you mean you have to weed through?
Well, you have some ladies, they want to meet you, and so I've got to weed out a lot of the real tough looking ones. You don't want to be rude, so I'm not going to say yes to a woman who it's just real rough to look at her face, you know.
Well, I'm so happy to know that you're not shallow, Rudy.
All right, that's fine, Rudy. So get to the point here of when you finally do meet a young lady.
Well, you know, if you do agree to have a cocktail with one, and you go to the bar that you agree to, and I have two bars. Actually, in Los Angeles, I have three bars. I don't want to say which ones they are, but I've got a bar for the women that I'm not too sure. It might be, I may have to leave prematurely, let me put it that way. There's another bar that I agreed to meet them at that has a motel. And I know that this sounds...
Yeah, it sounds like you're a pig, if you don't mind me saying.
Excuse me, Margaret, I've not called you a name.
Let's just hear him out.
It sounds like you're a pig.
All right, I mean, I may be a pig, but I'm just trying to say it. There is, you know, and then the third one is a place that's near a really nice, like a Ritz-Carlton. So,
all right, so the first bar...
The first bar, and, you know, if you meet a woman and it's not happening, you look at her and you go, wow, this is going to be a quick drink. And I will say to them, la, la, ha, la, la. You know, Phil, I have these Argentinian...
excuse me, what is that that you just did?
This is an Argentinian way to charm a woman, General. If you say to a woman, la, la, there are different ways of saying that. One way is you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Another one is that you would make a great mother for someone's children, maybe not mine.
What do you mean, maybe not yours?
Well, you're trying to be polite. And then the other is, you know, I wish to have relations. But if she's got if there's no chance for her, if she's put her best foot forward and you're still going to put up a big zero on that particular... figure skate, then...
You know, you're very cavalier with all of this, and I don't think I like it.
Well, Margaret, I'm trying to say, if I go into the bar and I see her and I know it's a no-go, I will say to her, good evening, how are you? And did you already order your drink? You did, good.
Ah, la, 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 la.
That means I think you are really something. And I've got to leave. But you are saying to her that you feel she is a good one, you know.
No, I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have to talk to you more about this, Rudy, because we have to go.
You're leaving me. Everyone thinks I'm an ass now.
Yes, they do, and they should.
No, you're leaving me.
Yeah, we're leaving you. All right, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow night. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass. We'll update you on other goodies happening. We're still on Facebook on our Facebook fan page, Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. Facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. Check it out. We'll see you tomorrow night. Yeah, yeah.
Night, everybody. See you later.